I know I can get through this in 15 minutes, and the way I'm going to do it is by telling you guys, Larissa and my collaborators and I put this slide presentation together for a webinar we broadcast, and that was attended by 80 or 100 people across the state a couple months ago. And there we had an hour and a half to go through this information. And so, that was a diverse audience. You guys, I'm going to assume, know a whole lot more about the organization and delivery of healthcare and the problem of underfunded and care that's not up to snuff for people with serious mental illness. So I'm going to hit the details and the highlights of things that are of interest to us in this APHA audience and gloss over some of the introductory and background points and all. And then if there's anything I'm not able to cover or you want to learn more about it, you can ask or look at the slides. So title is Transagency Collaboration to Inform Behavioral Health Services and Policy in Texas Medicaid. And this is a joint project largely between me and a research team at the University of Texas School of Public Health, and then the Meadows Mental Health Policy Institute, and then the Texas Health and Human Services Commission, and some other people. And I'll get to some of this. We don't have any disclosure funding relationships to note regarding influence or anything like that. But the funding and support for this project has come from the Mental Health Policy Institute, Texas Health and Human Services Commission, and our support through University of Texas School of Public Health. Okay, this is a long list of co-authors or co-presenters, and this really was, when we start to talk about the scope of this project, we have undertaken and are really just getting started on after a year and a half or so, a year and three-fourths, you'll see we do need all these team members to bring different expertise and knowledge together and represent different people in the collaborative. So my goal is here to describe our process and challenges for facilitating a trans-agency integrated database to analyze healthcare utilization that's publicly funded by people, adults with serious mental illness, and describe the results from the integrated database, including policy recommendations we've arrived at to improve data management and to improve the organization, delivery, financing of behavioral health services. So the this was commissioned, or the idea arose out of the Texas Institute of Healthcare Quality and Efficiency. They were established in 2011 to identify and promote evidence-based approaches to improve healthcare quality, accountability, education, cost in the state of Texas. And the board of directors for this Institute of Quality is they're appointed by the governor, and they represent diverse interests in the healthcare system, kind of more of the establishment of the healthcare system, health plan administrators. They include hospital administrators, physicians, nurses, and also members of education involved with healthcare. And then 16 ex officio non-voting members representing state agencies in the state's major university systems. So we have a lot of buy-in into this project from people that can facilitate access to data, and this is a big data linking project. So, and there's a bunch of slides of people. And the goal is to leverage public-private partnership and support sharing of data across agencies to support more comprehensive analyses. And so what do we mean by comprehensive analyses? Well, we'll get to this, but about in Texas, for these data covering 2010 to 2012, about 40% of our Medicaid population with a serious mental illness diagnosis as a first coded reason of care for a piece of service delivery, about 40% of that population is dual eligible with Medicare. So if you're wondering how much does the state pay to sustain the care of somebody with a serious mental illness through Medicaid, well, you're missing part of the picture, because some of the costs are going through Medicare. So for those dual eligibles, you have this big gap in your cost, and they'll look like they're very inexpensive when they're not. So you need to do this, you need to get communication between the different agencies that can facilitate the access to these data, all the bureaucratic processes, and so on. So And every data set, we're going to talk about the data linkage here, every data set has its own process for getting access to it, including electronic security and IRB access and data user agreement. And each data set set up a little bit differently. So all of this is big challenges. You guys know this idea. You cannot manage what you cannot measure. In Texas, we recognize that other parties have noted this too. We really don't know how efficient or what we're getting from our money when we're paying for serious mental illness care for adults. So that's a big challenge, and that's our goal, is to be able to put some numbers on that, evaluate the cost and the quality. And we've gotten access to and we've linked five different data sets is our main accomplishment we've reached so far, which is getting Medicaid data for Texas for 3 years, Medicare data for Texans for 3 years, and then getting the people that are often delivering the bulk of the serious mental illness care, the local mental health authority utilization data. We also have the hospitalization data from the state of Texas. This is common in many states where any hospitalization, a discharge summary needs to be reported to the state. So we have those data for this identified population, whether that hospital stay was paid for by any of these data sets or not. And then we also have long-term disability services from DADS, Department of Aging and Disability Services. So we've been able to identify this Medicaid group of adults with serious mental illness across these other data sets, so we can, you know, put together a big picture of what portion are receiving long-term care, what portion are ending up in the hospital each year, and begin to put some dollar signs onto some of those things, and looking at some variables, you know, such as if somebody falls out of Medicaid coverage, are they more likely to have a hospitalization in the near future? So linking methodology, I'll just mention a couple things here. Largely the way we can link across data sets is if a Medicaid number is in two of them, or if Social Security number is in two of them. And so that's a big challenge. We initially, one idea was to make this one big data set, right? One big spreadsheet with millions of clients and millions of services delivered. But we decided that it's a lot more feasible to come up with questions and then just link and make ad hoc data sets, including, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 data sets as we need. And so that's what we've done. We haven't actually put these all together in one data set, but we have them in a relational, loosely described relational data set where we can, you know, start doing the syntax and find people in one data set and the other. Let me go on to some of the stuff. Okay, so we have around 280,000 in this three-year span, 280,000 people with serious mental illness. What diagnoses are those? Largely major depression, moderate portion with bipolar disorder, some with schizophrenia, and then some with two or three diagnoses, and those are the smaller numbers. So largely leadingly is depression. What is across these 3 years, what is the median and mean enrollment months? It looks like people with two or three disorders are enrolled the entire full time, so that may be higher acuity, and then there's lower levels of lower tenures of enrollment for other single diagnoses. Annual costs, like I said, we're working on this, so these are not final numbers, but we can see it's around about $9,000 per person, and we broke out costs by the diagnostic categories. And the one thing here is costs are fairly similar until you start looking at people with two episodes of care under different diagnoses or three. Then those people start to look more expensive, and we don't know if that means, you know, they're diagnostically more complicated because they have both of those diagnoses, or if there's diagnostic lack of clarity. We also analyzed medical comorbidities. People in this audience will be pretty much aware that people with serious mental illnesses die on around about 20 years earlier than people without serious mental illness, and that largely can be accredited to chronic medical illness, the most prevalent things that we would see in the population otherwise, diabetes, heart disease, respiratory diseases, cholesterol-related diseases, and so on. You know, those top three or four accounting for the large burden of comorbidity. So we can look at, we can begin to look at medical and behavioral health care in this population. Then how many people have 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 comorbidities? There's the data there. About half have no medical comorbidities in these data sets. And then there's 20% with 1, 12% with 2, and so on. Then another interesting thing that we can do with our data is we know each person's county of residence. So as in other states, we have different initiatives or programs, or we have our managed care, Medicaid organized by different districts or regions, so we can locate people into these different administrative or bureaucratic districts. And then also we can look at rural-urban differences. So that's a neat level of analysis that we have there. These are some data on rural-urban differences. There are some differences there. If you know, I'll have you guys pull up the slides in the interest of time. So let me get to some of our conclusions here. Out of this, we had our big challenge was going through the bureaucratic processes of figuring out what does each agency's institutional review board process need to look like? What does their data security process need to look like? How do we fill in the blanks? And what signatures do those things need once they've gotten, you know, the initial approval? Who else needs to review them and sign off on them? So it was really a challenging project for the first three-fourths of the first year, where we're largely spending our time going through bureaucratic processes of getting each data set successively. And, you know, we know how to do IRB for our school, and we know electronic management and security on our side, but all these agencies have to be satisfied that everything is going to be managed and handled appropriately. So some of our recommendations are: the state ought to develop a central data repository for these types of data sources, and then develop streamlined, parallel, or the same strategies for allowing external researchers like us to get access to them. And there are some statutory burdens that inhibit data management and analysis while not instrumentally protecting patient confidentiality. So it's really just these data have been in different places for years and years and years, and it's more a matter of just recognizing we can put them together. Some of the recommendations we came to from this analysis is that what we heard from providers is they would really like us to they would really like the state to boost the flexibility in services that could be provided, because this population, people with serious mental illness, there are sometimes somebody needs a lot of help getting into a job training program. Sometimes somebody needs a lot of help staying in their housing situation, and so on. And they might need that type of help only once every 5 years, and so on. So that flexibility is a key component, and these large administrative healthcare programs aren't really strong on flexibility. They're more strong on formulaic things and looking at healthcare funding as if it's managing acute and chronic illnesses in the medical care setting. So we are encouraging piloting different types of models and so on. We also are encouraging the state to adopt outcomes-based metrics for the provision of this care. And so things like, are people living in the least restrictive alternative in the community? Are they employed at their highest level of functioning? Versus regular psychiatric care, where you're just figuring out have we achieved symptom management. So those are some of our recommendations. We've come out, and we saw some progress on some of these things in our state legislative session. We have a state legislative session every 2 years, and we had this one in 2015, and we saw a couple of these come out. Such as supporting home and community-based services with a more finely tuned Medicaid program under 1915I statutes, and so on. So lessons learned: diverse data sets can jointly be analyzed to produce a profile of healthcare utilization by Medicaid recipients. We believe this is an unprecedented level of analysis for publicly funded healthcare in Texas. The diverse access and approval processes make this a big challenge. And then we needed a lot of consultation and support from our school's IT department in order to address the volumes of data that need to be managed and the special security precautions and practices that need to be taken to hold and allow access to the data from the different analysts. So I'm here. Next steps, as you can imagine, is a matter of getting our cost numbers down together, looking at things such as disenrollment and subsequent utilization, hospitalization rates, and so on. So, and I want to acknowledge our two graduate research assistants who have done a lot on this, Shuang Fu and Bo Zhao. And then we depended on a lot of people in the state healthcare administration, really at many administrative levels, to kind of foster this project along and the different pieces of that, and then our school's IT department. Okay, so where should I go back to here? The next person's going to come up? And then, okay.